Online Trading Academy is a leader in investing and stock trading education. Sign up for a class today to learn proven strategies on how to trade smarter. Text Cairo to 57682 and register for a free workshop in Bellevue and other surrounding areas. Text Cairo to 57682.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
It is exactly that, The Big Lead, but in a tragic twist of fate, in fact, a cruelty to the audience. My name is not Dory Monson. I am Todd Herman. You heard Ursula's news there. Pete Rogoff, the so-called CEO of the biggest scam in regional political history, asked, hey, how come we're not getting the choo-choo trains that aren't going to alleviate any congestion out in our rural areas, but you're now going to take people from Ballard into downtown Seattle? Rogoff.
Well, things change.
Let me translate that. See, I speak Rogoffian. You stupid rubes. We got your money. You think we care about moving your stupid rube bodies around? Why do you think I called your mayors small town mayors with nothing better to do? There. Fixed it for you, Mr. Rogoff. But that's only the beginning of The Big Lead in our area.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
That is Bizarro World. WashDOT raced to apologize. Finally, for their role in getting people killed in the DuPont Amtrak crash. Finally, WashDOT. What? What wasn't that? Finally, for operating an illegal series of toll lanes on the 405, WashDOT has stepped up to No. Wait a minute. Finally, WashDOT has stepped up to apologize for politicizing transportation in our world, pretending they can't build their way out of congestion. They finally got a conscience. They finally stepped up and said, we're doing it all wrong, and we deeply apologize. No? No, it was not for that either that they apologized. They apologized because, as you heard maybe in Ursula's newscast there, that a sign, one of their electronic reader board signs in the 518, read, you suck. And it was a training exercise. They said a training exercise gone wrong. You know what? I believe them. I absolutely believe them because they probably trained their people to think of us in our cars as people who suck, but they do that in private. Because we are the put upon, we're the despised class, and I can prove it to you. You want me to prove it to you beyond a scientific shadow of a doubt? I'll use science since we all love science. Where are the warning signs that the toll bridges in our area are going to open up? Where are those? You ever notice that? You're driving I-5 south out of the city and you're trying to make that decision. Do I shoot over Marginal Way, get up on the First Avenue South Bridge, or do I roll the dice and continue south? Now, if you don't have Sully or you don't have Tracy at night on car radio to guide you on the way, you got to toss the dice. Which way do I go? Where's just a simple sign that says the First Avenue South Bridge is going to open in 3 minutes? Just something like that. They won't put it up. I actually got into an argument at one time with WashDOT on social media about this, and they responded and said, oh, we don't run the bridge. We don't decide when it goes up. That's the Coast Guard. That's right. But it's WashDOT employees inside that bridge. All they would have to do is issue a signal or a tweet that in 3 minutes, we're going to put up the First Avenue South Bridge, and they refuse to do it because they don't like you. They don't like any of us who drive, and they would like us to stop. So much so that in this bizarro world, you remember those illegal toll lanes? You know the ones on 405 North? They're illegal. We're going to talk exclusively with Mark Harmsworth in just a bit on this. Harmsworth has fought a battle against this. They intend to expand these. And, of course, Dory's been telling you for years they intend to toll every road. I'm telling you they intend to toll you from the moment you turn your car on in the morning. It's going to be very much like that space show. I'd like to drive to downtown Seattle. I'm sorry, Hal. I can't do that for less than $200. But I can, for $20, take you to a train station. Choo-choo! So they intend to expand these down into Renton up to Bellevue. The 405 Project Administrator Kim Henry Talk with Q13. He says that the Bellevue to rent and drive is a mess.
If you get into a stop-and-go situation, you aren't getting very many cars through. You get a lot of density, a lot of cars are parked, but they're not going anywhere.
You know, that's why we hire these guys. I had never noticed before that when you get stop-and-go, it's not a very fun commute. Then he went in, this washed-out employee, Kim Henry, to explain why he believes the 405 tolls are working so very well.
We have much higher throughput, of about 35% more throughput, even though the daily volumes are the same.
You have more throughput because people are taking side streets. You have more throughput because you're counting the rich people, and they are rich people who drive in these lanes and who pay money to drive in these lanes. I can't wait when we talk to Mark Harmsworth to ask him about where he thinks these tolls are headed. You think they're going to stay at $10? You think they're going to be frozen at $10? I have news for you. There's not a chance in Hades they stay anywhere near $10. With WashDOT, Kim Henry also explains why he believes this is not going to roll out in the same way that the 405 tolls did.
This is going to be a much different look and feel from the last one.
I imagine it will be, since we're now supposed to pretend, all of us, that these tolls are perfectly legal. David Habelwitz is with Stop 405 Tolls. He speaks the truth on this. If you're not a rich person who can afford a $10 commute each way, if you're not a rich person who can afford to spend $100 per week, $400 per month, $4,000, about $5,000, $6,000 per year to commute, $6,000 per year to drive your car on one stretch of road. If you're not that human being, or you refuse to do it like me, I take with me a dry erase pen. Did I tell you that? I just make a tiny little modification to my license plate when I drive on that tolled area. I drive in the lanes all I want to because they're illegal. I don't feel the least bit bad about modifying my license plate. They break the law. I feel totally justified. David Habelwitz with Stop 405 Tolls is right. These are punishing people.
You cannot make the highway go faster just by charging money to use it. Now people have to pay to get to work. Now we have the same thing starting all over again with the people other than Pierce County. And they're going to get punished the same way.
And this is the message. It goes right back to that "you suck" sign. It goes right back to this training exercise where the sign came up from WashDOT saying "you suck." Do we want to believe for a second that they don't think that? David Habelwitz of Stop 405 Tolls is right. He says these are not the solution.
We're pushing on. We need trains, which go one place, and we need to charge tolls for when we get on the highway. And the reality is that just creates diversion traffic, that creates frustration, and that does nothing for the other lanes that are the general purpose lanes.
Nope, but this is more than about traffic. This is more than about transportation. This is, in fact, who should have what. This is, in fact, an examination of the one party that runs this area. And it's this: who should have convenience? Who should be able to wake up in the morning and say, you know, I choose to go here at this time? Versus people waking up and saying, man, I hope that the Sounder train's running. It was shut down again for 2 days. 2 days in the mud. The Sounder train and the Amtrak train were shut down because two agencies with unlimited budgets, basically. Sound Transit's budget is $95 billion. They can't figure out how to get a train to run in the rain. But the vision from WashDOT is normal people. You wake up, you grab your cup of coffee, you hope the Sounder train's running. If not, you get diverted onto a bus. You hope that you get to the train station on time. If you're 1 minute late, you take the next train and there goes a couple minutes with your kid. You hope that you can afford to take your daughter to a concert at the Seattle Center. Maybe there's no trains and buses running at that time. Hey, do you have $30 to spend each way into downtown Seattle? You have that money ready to go? That's the vision. Who should have what? Who should have access to the freedom of mobility? Now, this only lasts for a little while, and then it spread all around. Because you know those driverless cars that people are excited about? I know my friend Dory, he likes the idea of the driverless car. Sitting back, laying back, let the car do the work. The fact of the matter is this. They're not driverless cars. They're computer-driven cars. Who will decide where they go and when? The government. They'll make the rules. One day your so-called driverless car will tell you, I'm sorry, Andrew. We can't take you to Bellevue right now. Things are too busy, unless you'd like to pick up six other people. So what I thought I would do is reach out to someone who can tell us all about this in the next portion of The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I got a nickname for him because it's an aspirational nickname, something I want to see happen one day in our state. I call him Governor. He has fought this battle. He's fought it hard, and he's fought it with vigor. The battle against the 405 tolls. Governor Mark Harmsworth, welcome to the Dory Monson Show. Todd Herman filling in.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
You my dream. You know you're my dream governor, right?
Well, you know, you set the thing up on the pedestal there. It comes on down sometimes, so we have to be careful about that.
Yeah, I understand that. So I'm just keeping track of the news today. You know, WashDot, someone accidentally wrote, you suck, on one of their reader boards, and they instantly issued an apology, an incredible apology. And I thought, wait a minute, I haven't heard an apology for the 405 toll lanes, which are operating illegally. So I went in and checked on that. Turns out they intend to expand this illegal operation of these illegal toll lanes a little bit across the 405. And I was thinking, I wonder if Mark Harmsworth has changed his mind and come around and is embracing these toll lanes.
No, that would be a bit of a long shot there, Todd. I mean, the expansion they're talking about is from Bellevue down to Renton. And they're adding and they're actually putting in toll lanes down there now, but they are adding a lane which will be a toll lane. But you know, I mean, my question to them would be, one, just add the capacity. I mean, that would actually work if it was a general purpose lane and keep it at 2 plus HOV.
Well, I think we know the answer to that, and that is that they intend to toll every single highway, every single road in Washington State, and this is just a test case for this. But
yeah, I think you're spot on. Yeah,
right. I mean, I think that's clear, right?
Yeah, and apparently we suck now, too. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah,
too.
So they've...
They're talking about doing the toll on the US 2 trestle up in my neck of the woods in Snohomish County, and now, you know, we've exposed that, and they're trying to, you know, say this is not the tolling you're looking for. These are not the droids you're looking for. So they're definitely trying to do this under the radar.
You know what's fascinating to me, Mark, is that they contend in the media that, well, I mean, the 405 tolls has worked so well. It solves so many people's problems. Everyone loves them. Why would we not expand it?
Well, if you ask somebody who uses the toll lanes, who can afford to use the toll lanes, well, yeah, they're getting a good experience because they're paying the money, and most days they get to drive quickly. There are days when even the toll lanes clog up. But for the rest of us, the majority of us, who can't afford to do that every day, and we're sitting in the general purpose traffic. So the majority of those guys, they're not asking those drivers if they're enjoying the experience, because they know the answer is going to be no, we're not enjoying the experience. It's horrible. It's got a lot worse. I'm taking side streets now, and you know, the experience is really bad for them.
The tolls in Washington, D.C., Mark, from Virginia, it's about a 3 to 4 mile drive, if that, $47.50. Both ways. And this is in sight here because we're hearing from the company that's done the analysis for WashDOT that they need to crank the rates up on these. So how high do you think this goes? Do you think that WashDOT perceives a ceiling of when they can stop bleeding people?
No, I think WashDOT wants to remove the $10 cap. That's up to the Washington State Transportation Commission to do that. And they're nervous about it right now, rightfully so. The other recommendation they made was to divide the corridor into sections and then have a unlimited cap on each section. So you could see some pretty expensive tolls, even higher than D.C., which basically makes the road unusable for just about everybody unless you know, Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos.
You know, I had Rima Shapiro, who runs the Washington State Transportation Commission, on the air. And I told her, I looked her in the eye and said, we all know that you intend to toll every road. All of us know this, and we know that this little test you're doing with the GPS units and the per-mile charge, that's just a precursor to that. Are you willing to admit that? And she said, she's acted real sad, like, I can't believe you would think this of me. Is there any indicator, Mark, that you could have that anyone anywhere could say that's not the plan?
No, I've seen the studies they've done for the full I-5 corridor. Mark my words, they'll be talking about tolling the express lanes on I-5 next, once they get through with 4 or 5. That's absolutely on their radar. And the mileage plan, which I signed up for because I wanted to see kind of what it looks like, yeah. And I'm in the plan, and yeah. I'll have a story for you when we're done, because I figured out how to scam it already.
Yeah.
So, which they asked me to do.
Oh, you figured out how to scam it?
Yeah.
Oh, but you don't want to break that news now?
No, I don't. I will wait until we're at the end.
All right.
REMA challenged me in Transportation Committee to find a way of getting around the system, and I've done it. So I will reveal that on the air at the end of the pilot.
Good, good. Well, I'm going to make sure that you do that in the Dory Monson Show, even if I'm not here. Now, Dory has to bring me in for the segment, though, because I've secured that sort of from you. I don't heard your real promise. But
yeah,
let me close off on this. When you were using that per-mile-driven device, were you pretty thrilled to see it was tracking your braking and your speed and everything else that they'll feed to insurance companies and the Washington State Patrol? Were you excited by that?
Well, I saw some of the things online. I opted to go with the odometer reading.
Okay.
But what I am seeing is that they're collecting so much data. And, you know, we know how secure the government systems are. They're obviously this is going to leak. There's such a huge privacy issue here with what they're collecting, and that they have absolutely no right to know that kind of information, but they're collecting it anyway. So,
well, they're going to sell it. They're going to sell it, Mark.
Absolutely.
It's not even. Yes, it's going to leak. I'm doing a story today on Dory's show about the fact that hackers got into the big better database of a casino. You know, the people who go bet 100, 150,000, 200,000 per hand. They got into it through the thermometer of the fish tank in the lobby. So, if it can be hacked, if it can be coded, it can be hacked. Last thing with you, am I officially beaten a twice dead horse or a twice cooked horse when I keep pointing out that the 405 toll lanes are illegal?
No, you're absolutely right. They're ignoring it. You'll notice the legislature didn't do anything about it this time, despite us trying to run budget amendments, and I ran legislation this year to try and shut them down. We've got to keep the pressure on. They are operating them illegally. They don't have the authority to do that now. And despite what they claim, the pilot should have been over by now, and they should be dismantling these lanes, but they're just carrying on. So, again, it's just the government not being accountable to us.
Well, you're not going to share your scam with me, but I'll share mine with yours. It's called a dry erase pen. So from time to time, I have to drive those tolls, and I feel very, very justified in using a dry erase pen just to make the slightest bit of a modification to my license plate. Mark Harmsworth, thank you for joining us on the Dory Monson Show. It's always a pleasure, Governor. And when you make that announcement that you're running for the big seat, I want you to come to me. I'm going to give you some free consulting.
All right, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks.
You too. Mark Harmsworth. And that is the big lead for today coming up. If I can rope him into coming into the studio, Brock Huard, is Russell Wilson fully focused on the Seahawks? It's Todd Herman for Dory Monson on Kyle Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk, and Seattle Seahawks Station.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, you're listening to Dory. Did you know that your customers do too? Why don't you advertise here? Give me a call and I'll help you out. Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Kiowa Radio, 206-726-6819.
It's Todd Herman in for Dory Monson on Kiowa Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. Wouldn't you know it, he suffers every single morning in a room alone with Mike Salk.
Yes.
Brock Huard comes on the Dory Show for a little bit of therapy, talk a little bit of Seahawks, also does a great podcast about the intersection between faith and sports. Brock, welcome back to Dory Show with Todd.
Good to be here, Todd. I'm glad you can man this thing alone. Over the next 2 days, it's going to take two.
Oh, you're going to do it with a partner?
You're going to take two of us to do what you can do alone. That would be Dave Wyman.
Oh, you and Dave tomorrow.
Yeah, the Wyman.
Oh, that's cool.
A couple kind of conservatives in the building, which is a little rare. So, yeah, the two of us going to be filling in for Dory.
A lot of times what they'll do when us conservatives get together, they'll block out the windows and stuff so we don't offend people.
Yes.
You know, turn the speakers off out in the lobby.
Yes.
We want to make sure no one hears what we're saying. Because,
yes.
You know, we might say something like lower taxes or
right.
Maybe respect marriage.
Oh, that's funny. I was noticing technical difficulties for you at the start of the show today. On the screen out there, it just said technical difficulties, technical difficulties.
I can't feed anything up. So I wanted to talk to you about a couple things Seahawks related. The big sports lead would be Russell Wilson is extraordinarily distracted and not preparing himself for the season. He was doing a television show for ESPN. I do worry about that. I really do, because I have great respect for his intellect and his work capacity and my understanding of his insane concentration on being in shape and prepared. But he's, I guess, doing a TV show for ESPN now?
Yeah, it's interesting, Todd, because actually this morning on our show, we had Jake Heaps. And Jake Heaps was a football player in this town, Skyline High School, state champ, really big-time recruit, went to BYU, bounced around, was with the Seahawks for a year, but he runs Russell's Academy. So Russell Wilson, another one of his ventures, is his own passing academy, and Jake really runs that thing locally for aspiring quarterbacks and teaches them. And Jake was down when they taped this deal down at UCLA. So they taped all of these shows, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago. And Jake was down there because Russell said to him, Jake, you got to come and we still got to train. I got to do this taping for 4 hours, but I want to train. You're going to continue to train me, sneak a workout in. I tape another 4 hours. Then I get another one of my own workouts. I mean, his work capacity, to your point, is off the charts. His energy level is through the roof. I don't know and have not been around many, especially young athletes, wired quite the way that Russell is. But if I were his confidant and I were his mentor, I'd ask him the same thing you just did. Hey, man, are you getting, like, is there a point where you're a jack of all trades and a master of none, and this is what you're the master of? But does all these other trades start to, come on, man, take a little of the energy, not drive, not competitiveness, but just the energy to do all of this. I think that'd be a legitimate question for him moving forward.
Yeah, I think energy and focus, keeping the main thing, because I saw he was enjoying pancakes with Jeff Bezos over at the house. And I know that's just taking some photos, putting it up on this app. I had a chance to invest in that app. I didn't. Maybe I made another bad decision because I had a chance to be
trace
really,
me, right?
Really, yeah, I had a chance me, yeah. to be really yeah. early in that, and I yep. decided not to do that. So maybe that's one.
But
I
he's
missed.
Done everything, Todd. I mean, look at it. He did the Soto Arena. He does that. He does all these companies. He in getting to know him, and it's a small little window, so I don't get to know him, but I know the people pretty close to him. They would tell you he has to, that he has to. If he doesn't, he would combust from an energy standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, he just has to have those things constantly fueling him.
So give him a pass fail as a TV host.
As a TV host, pass fail was a fail. But I'm a tough judge, you know, because he's not. I mean,
yeah.
he's just not. No, exactly.
Yeah.
And you're going to fill in for John Gruden.
Yeah.
You know, John did that show, Emmy Award winning show. It's called the John Gruden Boot Camp. And he was unbelievable. I mean, he was phenomenal at it. He continued to leverage that in the Monday Night Booth to get back into the business and make $10 million a year as a coach. So that's where the bar is. And there was no way. There was no way he was going to get close to that. And, yeah, so simply from a – but he wasn't an F.
Yeah.
You know, if it's simply pass fail, he'd probably lean that way. B minus.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, to get on national TV, it's harder than a lot of people think.
Yes.
And broadcasting, it's always fun. You know, there was this day back in the day where they used to take politicians and turn them into guest hosts for political talk radio.
Ooh.
And just set them behind a mic and say, good to go. And they found out that smart person does not necessarily equal, you know, great radio hosts.
You know what else?
As I'm proof of.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But I'll tell you what's interesting is I think about a story that was told one time that the ESPN, like, TV bosses and the big bosses came in and said to all the middle managers that were middle managing the radio shows and everything else, the program director's like, okay, you get on the air. And they're like, what? No, I want to hear you guys. Like, you're the one evaluating the talent. Get behind the mic. And it was catastrophic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Look, there's some people who, are, you know, belong in supervisory roles and other people who belong in those performance roles. Let me switch gears, talk about Earl Thomas. Earl did not show up for the voluntary camp. I guess, voluntary practices. Of course, the Seattle Times, everyone is sort of indicating that, okay, strap in. It's going to be a negotiation or maybe a little bit of a battle between Earl Thomas and the Seahawks. What's your take, Brock?
Yeah, I think the take is over the last few months, they've done everything to liquidate the drama in that building. Starting with Bennett and trading him, Richard Sherman moving on from him, Kaepernick. If you're going to be ambiguous, we're not going to go down that road. I think they have liquidated as much as they can that phase of the game, which was going to be natural when the group was together as long as they were. That drama is out the door. Earl is right in the crossroads of that because Earl is a player and is a, you know, all these other activity. He is a one-track mind. That dude is married to football. He loves it. He is this driven warrior mentality. You would love him. He is crazy, psycho competitive like you are, man. He is. But he's also at a point where he's part of the past and can he still be some of the future? And what do you want, Earl? And he wants to be paid $13 or $14 million a year. He wants to be paid the best free safety in the game, period, bar none, will not negotiate. And if he doesn't get that, I don't think he's going to set foot here. And then the Seahawks are on the other side saying, we're not going to do that, man. We're moving this thing forward, and we're just not going to go down that road with you. So can they find a trade partner? Going to be a busy 8 days leading up to the NFL draft next Thursday. Something, I think, has to move in that regard.
I've always found the Seahawks and the GM Schneider and Carroll and their philosophy of trading. I've found that to be more interesting than any other team because I feel like they are they roll the dice maybe more than other teams. Sometimes you lose. I mean, and look, you got to admit it. I'm part sad for Malik McDowell, who is being called maybe the biggest draft bust in Seahawks history. But in a way, also, there's nothing more common, Brock, and maybe more tragic than endemic gifted talent that people throw away, right? Endemic gifted talent that doesn't come with the desire.
Yes. You mentioned my podcast, Above and Beyond. And last week, I was at back at Clemson University, Dabo Sweeney, maybe the most outspoken Christian coach in all of college football. And we sat down and it was an hour. It could have been six. We finished like, I could do that all day. Like that was unbelievable. And I think I asked him three questions.
It was
unbelievable. But one of the things he said is I try to really preach to my young people that don't let one moment really define your lifetime. One moment and one poor choice and one mistake, because it can. And for Malik McDowell, he was told very clearly that when they left minicamps, you have 5 weeks. These will be the five most dangerous weeks of your life. And the Seahawks do an unbelievable job, Todd.
Yeah.
They bring in all these experts. They have people in-house. They bring in the family members of these draft picks because they know just how volatile, once minicamp ends, there's about a six-week stretch before they get their hands on them. And now they've got more money. They got more fame. They got more attention than they ever had. Everybody's going to come out of the woodwork, and they really spend time, about 3 days with them, and say, just guard yourself. Just be on guard. And don't do this and don't do that and try to form relationship with rules. But ultimately, these guys will make a decision, as he did. It was catastrophic. Didn't wear a helmet, got on an ATV, went wild, and unfortunately paid his career here in Seattle. And we'll see whether or not anybody takes the risk to sign him with another franchise.
Yeah, because before this, I was looking at Bosworth as the big draft bust way, way, way back in the day because he got a bunch of money and I think he got a bunch guaranteed.
He just
guaranteed.
Couldn't play.
No, I know.
He was so roided up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
Yeah, I know he was.
He sized 9 feet. He had these little petite wrists.
Yeah.
He was so sauced
in
his joints. There was no way they were going to handle. Right,
or a Bo Jackson.
Yes.
When Bo ran over
that
him.
That is a no-chancer.
Yeah.
It was a no-chancer.
Brock Heward, always fun to have you on. You can hear him in the mornings on 710 ESPN. And then tomorrow and Friday, man, I know I'm never coming back as a guest host because now we got Brock and Wyman coming in here. And I'll tell you what, I will be with you. You can cry on my shoulder when you guys fully out yourselves as more conservative. I'll bring you into the fold, okay?
And I expect a 100% honest answer from you when we text you at 3 o'clock tomorrow and say, pass, fail.
Okay.
Pass, fail.
I'll give you, and I
know you will.
Yeah.
You'll give me an honest answer.
Yeah, absolutely will. And then I'll flee the building because you're both professional athletes who could hammer me to death. Hey, thanks again, Brock Heward I don't want to say the guy's name. Brock and Salk, I'll just say that. Up next on the Dory Monson Show, the death on the Southwest Airlines plane, absolutely tragic. Because also, though, sort of a pastiche of our time. And I wanted to reflect on that a little bit when we come back on Car Radio. It's Todd Herman filling in for Dory Monson on Car Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. It's Todd Herman. Always an honor to fill in for Dory. You can text kind comments where you appreciate what we're doing on the show to 98973. I think the line for criticism, I think that went down. I think that went down with the IRS snafu. We're trying to bring that back. I want to talk about that next hour, by the way. One thing I want to mention about the IRS is I wish I could tell you that was buffoonery, but as someone who used to be the chief digital officer of the Republican National Committee, I'll tell you flat out, it's not buffoonery. The reason that those computers run on this old code is protectionism. They like the fact that they can earn $500,000 a year. The coders back there writing in a language that was forgotten by real human beings 29 years ago. So we may talk about that further. The Southwest Airline tragedy that occurred, anybody who gets on an airplane can relate to the fear of turbulence. And there's some people who don't fear turbulence. And I'll tell you, you're lucky that you don't do that. I sat next to a pilot who spent most of his life flying transatlantic flights. Big ones out of Australia. He became an accident investigator. And I made the mistake one day on an airplane of asking the gentleman, we were eating breakfast driving from Newark to Seattle. I said, you know what? I'm still afraid of turbulence and I fly so much. I'm an Alaska MVP gold 75K by March every year. And he goes, oh, no, mate. They're incredibly dangerous. Like, why are you telling me this? Because we're on an airplane right now. So all of us can relate, I think. But this incident that occurred with Southwest Airlines, there's another way to look at this. And this really, really was profound to me as I started to read about what happened. You have a mother and a wife and a bank executive. A woman who was killed in this incident, a woman named Jennifer Riordan. She was, I think, a Wells Fargo exec. And she's flying in going home, earning probably a really great living. And she was almost sucked all the way out the window. And some of her fellow passengers teamed up. A guy named Tim McGinty wears a cowboy hat. He and some other people teamed up to try to pull her back up into the airplane. They were able to get her back in, but they were not able to revive her. Now, the loss of this woman is devastating to her family. And it's devastating to those of us who fly a lot. It is. It's just one more reason to kind of get a little scared about turbulence. She was a bank executive in an arena that not that long ago, women were told, you can't be a bank executive. You know, you're tapped out. That was a reality for people like Jennifer Riordan. There she is flying across the country. In the front of the airplane, flying the airplane as the pilot, was a woman who was told not so long ago, you can't be a pilot because you're a woman and we can't have women flying commercial airplanes. And yet this woman who safely brought everybody else to the runway. This woman's name, the pilot, is Tammy Jo Schultz. She is a former Navy pilot. She herself is a mom flying the airplane to earn a living. And she made an incredible call to air traffic control. You may have heard some of the audio. She's completely in control. There is a hole in the aircraft and someone went out. And I need runway clearance. And I need it right now. And the focus, the calmness, that's what saved lives. So in the back of the airplane, a woman, female bank executive, struggles for her life. In the front of the airplane, driving it, if you will, is another woman who brings everybody to safety. She's the same woman who was told you can't be a Navy pilot. And she was. Now, the tragedy here, with nothing we can do to erase it for the Riordan family, for the other people who've been frightened near death from this experience. But it's an opportunity for us as a nation to step back a little bit and reflect upon the changes that have occurred and the progress that has been made. And political people are weird animals. They love division and they love upset. They love angst. So they want to take things like this sometimes and leverage it for that. I would rather take a moment like this to reflect on the incredible progress that's been made and how lucky the rest of the people on that Southwest Airlines flight to have pilot Tammy Jo Schultz at the controls. It's Todd Herman in for Dory Monson on Kyle Radio, 97.3 FM, Seattle's News, Seattle's Talk. We'll continue with the fastest 15 in media next.